Hello, everybody. We're going to have a look at a number of different scriptures. So if you want to start, first of all, looking for 1 Peter, chapter 2, right near the back of the Bible, this is, if you're wondering where to begin. Okay, are you ready? We're going to read some number of different scriptures together, and then I'm going to try and tie it all together. 1 Peter, chapter 2, starting at verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." And jumping to verse 9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Now, hopefully you're quite familiar with that, because Emma preached essentially on that scripture just last week? Well, 2 weeks ago. Very recently. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. So that's the last book of the Bible, and it's almost the very end of the last book of the Bible. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" Okay, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11. Verse 2. "I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him." And I want you to be noticing there's a couple more scriptures I'm going to read. These scriptures are all about the church. And I hope, just thinking in your mind as you're listening, what words is God using to describe the church? Or what analogies, what metaphors, what kind of... Would he, in all these scriptures, there's various ones that have happened so far, I'm going to bring them all together. Just look to notice them as I read through these different things. There's two more scriptures to go. So next one is 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27. So it's quite close to this. Just go back a little bit earlier. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 27, a longer portion, and then there's one other longer portion I'm going to read. Having a little Bible study this morning. "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body was an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving great honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Then finally, Ephesians chapter 5. So pretty close, just got to go a little bit forwards. Romans 7:6 in this church Bible. Now this scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, it's very easy to get focused on one particular element of this. It's talking about wives and husbands here. But at the end of it all, Paul makes clear he's talking about the church. So let's focus, the message at the moment is about the church. Let's focus on that element of it and think about the church as you listen to these words. So starting at verse 23, second half of 23. As Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. Now, any words out of all of that, well done everybody paying attention, any words that jump out at you that God is using in these scriptures to describe the church?
Body,
definitely. The church is described as a body, definitely. Any others?
Bride.
A bride, absolutely, a bride or a wife. Absolutely. One of the earlier scriptures, it talks about being a holy priesthood. And another one describes it, the church, as being a nation. Wow. Now, these are not trivial words, are they? God is describing the church as a wife, as a bride. I've been thinking about this sermon for weeks and weeks, and I still can't quite get my head around the full implications of that description of the church. You think about what words could the Lord have used to describe the church. He could have used any. He picks bride. He picks wife. These are powerful, powerful things. And the unity, it talks about the unity between the church and God as being like the unity between a husband and a wife. Now, as I was reflecting on these things, there were three things that I wanted to draw out of all of this, because there's a lot that you could obviously drill into all of this. You could go a long way with all of these thoughts. But there's three things I just wanted to bring out about being church. The first one is from that 1 Peter 2, it talked about we are living stones with Christ as the chief cornerstone. We are one entity. We are being built together into one building with Christ as the key cornerstone. If you remember Emma's illustration from recently. And I think this is talking about not just us, this little group here joined together in the King's Church this morning, but it's talking about the whole church, the whole community of God who are choosing to worship Jesus Christ all around the world. We are one building. We are one body. We are each different living stones individually within here, but groups of churches built together to make the one church of God. All of these scriptures are talking about the church, the one thing, one entity. And this is part of who we are, but we mustn't just think of it just within the narrow walls of this building here and these people here gathered today, wonderful as you all are. But we also need to think about it as the bigger church. And I think it has huge implications for us, because I think it removes all sense of which we should be judging one church against another. Oh, yes, I don't like their theology. No, they're different from us, but we're not to judge them. They're part of the same body as us. It's a bit like saying one toe to the other toe, I don't like the look of you. That's ridiculous, right? So we're one body, so we should love the church, all of it. And as a little illustration of loving the church, I'm going to summon my wife to come and take over for a few moments.
So we've got some pictures. So for people who aren't normally in our church, our daughter Isabel is out on mission. Sorry, I'll be able to do this work behind. She's out in Ecuador at the minute, and I wanted to share a testimony because we had a beautiful moment where our church membership got together and prayed over how we should support Isabel. And so this testimony to you as the church is this is your church family who live in Ecuador. And this is Isabel who we've sent out to be part of that part of the church at this time. So this is all the church members with some of the team. This is their church building. Since they've been out, they've actually, some of the money that Isabel raised, which is some of the money that this church actually gave to Isabel, that roof is now not a big bell tent. It is now a corrugated iron roof, still open walled, but this is, the young people helped to build it, and this is physically what we have given to this church. And this is them as they go away. So the testimony I want to give to you is how the church can love each other. And the scripture, the image that I felt God give me as Isabel shared this testimony was when we say in some liturgy, goodness, my mind's gone blank. We're all the church because we all share in the one bread. We're the body because we all share in the one bread. And God just kept giving that to me, saying, these people that I don't know, but my daughter knows. By going there, they are part of our body. So one of the young people, we didn't know this, he has been suffering with migraines all through his sixth form, so his A-levels, he actually missed about half of his schooling because of migraines. He, when they were out there, has been fine, and then they get towards Easter Sunday, they've been helping to run a children's camp for 2 weeks, had about 70 children come from the local area. Really exciting. Anyway, he got a really bad migraine. And on Good Friday, so in their church, the people that go to their church don't have much physically. They don't have much money and things. But they, when they go to Good Friday to Easter Sunday, Isabel was saying, they all really dress up. They put their best clothes on. And how many clothes they actually own, maybe not so much as what we have in our wardrobes. So in the service, this boy was at home with a really horrible migraine, and Isabel felt God say, go to the pastor's wife. go and ask her to pray for this boy that for healing prayer. So, different expressions of church. So the whole church got on their knees on this dirt floor and they prayed for this boy to be healed. And I just wanted to share that with you, that this is our family. It may look different from what we do, but the thing that really touched me and filled me with joy and filled Isabel and her team with joy was that they were prepared to get their clothes dirty, to get on their knees for this boy that has come out from the other side of the world to help and minister to them, and the love of the church that was displayed in this testimony. And I wanted to share it with you because it's part of our story too, because of the prayers, the finance, the love and support of Isabel, that we can thank Jesus for the way the church loves its people. So I was reminded of that beautiful story that Jesus says about, they were in the temple and this widow came and she put in her last money into the offering. And then he said, look at the other man who came with great wealth and gave part. And he said, which one has given the most? And I want to say, a church that doesn't have much financially in this moment gave such love to these young people as the whole team. Were prayed for in that. So it wasn't just the young boy who was ill. The church rose up and started praying for the whole team. And Isabel's kind of testimony was that was just such knowing that they've come and they've served this church. It's been right at the end of the time with them, Easter weekend, and the church gave everything they had to these young people. So just to encourage you, you know, we have much to give in our faith, in our church, in our walk. It may seem little to the outside world, but we know the significance of us choosing to say we will pray and we will bring Jesus into this situation. I hope that makes sense.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you, Bryony. I love it. Don't you love it? Just the church, the big church, the whole church, loving one of us. It's beautiful. And a great illustration of exactly what the scriptures teach. We are one body. We are one body. The second thing I wanted to draw out from this is the word that Bukumi mentioned there, specifically the bride, the element of being a wife, a bride of Christ. And I just think that that is such an, I don't know what about you, when I'm at a wedding, and you're in the congregation, you're waiting, the groom is there, a nervous wreck standing at the front with his best man, I was terrible. At one particular point, this is a packed church in London, I stood up, because I thought, Bryony's here, she's definitely here. The whole church stands up, and my best man turns around and says, really sorry, but Daniel's really nervous. Bride's not here yet, please sit down. but that moment, and we had it recently when a few of us went to see Dennis and Julie's daughter get married. It's that precious, beautiful moment when the bride walks down the aisle. I don't know about you, but it always brings tears to my eyes. It's so tender. It's so precious. It's so vulnerable. It's so courageous, taking that incredible decision to change your life completely and set out on this journey of marriage together. And I just think, isn't it an amazing thing that is how God is talking about us? He loves the church. He really, really loves the church. The third thing I wanted to say is that comes out from all those scriptures that we looked at is getting a little bit more into this idea of a body with many parts. Now, what does this mean? As a Christian, we are part of this body. And we may mess up sometimes. We may really embarrass ourselves. We may do something really silly. It doesn't stop the fact you are still part of the body. You don't have any choice. That scripture was incredibly clear. Just because the toe says, you know, I don't belong, doesn't mean it doesn't belong. You're part of the body. As a believer, you're part of the body. And some parts are more dignified than others, and some have different roles to play, and some have kind of... But it's a beautiful illustration. It's very powerful. So for us, if we think about it, and we think about the church, we probably see some of the people in the church and think, oh, that person's obviously part of the brain. They're organizing the whole thing. You know, they've got the kind of, you know, management going on. Of, you know, that person's maybe a key person. They're, you know, they're a hand. You can see the work they're doing all the time. Great, but we are all part of this. And your part may be, as a part of the body, for the moment, because of where you're at, your part may be to just come. Just to be here. And that's your role to play as the body that is gathered here at the King's Church. That your role is just to come and to be. And when you come, you bring a blessing. You're bringing part of your... It's better when you're here. And for others of us, the role we are playing may be a bit more of a different one because we're in a different place. Now, this illustration works really nicely. For example, if you've hurt your toe, let's think about hurting our toe for a minute. I imagine we've stubbed our toe, right? Really bad. Now, there's various other parts of our body that can compensate. The other leg and toe might say, well, do you know what? I can take a bigger burden right now. You know, I can take more of the role of walking. Because that foot's sore, I can do more. This arm might go, say I've hurt my right toe, I could hold on to a crutch. I could do a bit more, I could do a bit of work here, compensate for the sore toe. The backside might say, do you know, I can do some work here. I can offer my services for sitting down for longer, to rest up that toe. So I can put myself to use. The brain can go, well, I can look after the whole picture, sort of manage the process. I can instruct the left leg to do a little bit more work. I can, you know, I can look out for these things. Can you see how it's kind of working? You can imagine it all. But we also have to have the brain operating a little bit here because the backside might get a bit too used to sitting down on the sofa looking after the right toe. The right toe may well be feeling a whole lot better, but the backside's still sitting down. So we have to kind of have the whole view. And you can probably see how you might fit into this, but we do all fit into it. Every single one of us are part of this body. Every single one of us has a role to play. Now, you might be thinking, I'm not sure what my role is. And that's fine. But it could be time, if you're not sure what your role is, it could be time to talk to those people you're close to in the church. Talk to the leaders of the church, the elders, Emma, Bukumi, Cherry, Katie. Say, look, I'm here. I've been coming. I feel like I've got something to offer. I'm not sure what it is. Can we talk about it? So we've all got a role to play. You might think, oh, on a Sunday at feast, once a month, you may think, well, you know, I've been coming. I've enjoying it. But maybe there's something I could do a little bit more. But, you know, the kitchen team seem pretty well settled. I don't know whether I feel comfortable joining them or whatever. But just... speak up, ask. We can find things for you to do. If you're feeling like you're part of this and you've got a role to offer, then do it. The other side of it too is there may be a part of our body right now that's working too hard. Get repetitive strain injury if you do the same activity too often. If you're like a sonographer like Bryony is, if you did 5 days a week of pregnancy scanning, you get issues with your shoulder, you get issues with your wrist. So if we've got to look out as a body for each other, so that we're all healthy. Somebody seems to be doing too much. Maybe you could offer to step in and offer to help out a little bit. Do you see what I mean? So we have a role to play. This is very important as we think about being church together, about how do we fit in with this. And final thought on all of this, bringing it all together, we're going to have a little bit of time in a moment just to pray and just listen to God and just have a little moment to think about how do we fit in with this. But I think as a body, all churches are called to do a number of things. Called to worship God. Called to reach the lost. Called to serve the poor. Called to teach the scriptures. You know, there may be some other things, but those are the four that I came up with that kind of summarize some of the key things. But within that, every church is called to these things. But each church has a character, an anointing, a special flavor, if you like. And I think we as the King's Church, we've been a sanctuary. That's kind of who we have been as a church, and that's good. And we need to continue to be perhaps a sanctuary as we contemplate what being church is. You know, that's how we've been over our history. That's what role we've played. Fantastic. It may be God will call us in the future to become a worship centre, a centre of excellence in that. Or it might call us to be a centre which really focuses on teaching the word. Or it might be a church becomes focused completely on outreach. But at the moment, I think that's where we've been called to be. So within that context, we're going to have a little pray and a little listen and just to ask God to come and speak to us individually about how do we fit in within this little expression of a living stone, a little church, a little part of the big church. We're going to a little pray now, just ask God to come and just ask us to kind of inspire our minds, inspire our imaginations with thoughts about how do we fit in with all of this. Heavenly Father, thank you for the King's Church. Thank you for the wider church family. It is amazing to be part of the wider family of God. Thank you, Lord, that you love us like a bride. Help us to even slightly understand what that might mean. And Lord, thank you that you've called us all to play a part. Whether the part is just to come and be, or whether it's a specific role or function, or whether it's part of some particular thing we should be doing, you've asked us to come and play a part in this church, in the King's Church. So we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to us this morning, to come and sow thoughts in our hearts and minds as we listen to you about what you've called us to do in this place.